The book of Numbers, chapter 10 and verse 2, I want you to notice these words. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Let us look to the Lord for his guidance. Father in heaven, as we think of this wonderful statement and this wonderful event, O Lord, help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee, the whole Bible is about him. We think even of a verse we read that said it will be an ordinance throughout your generations. And even years later, these trumpets were still blowing, and today we have the reality of which these trumpets point towards. Bless us now, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. Last week we took the second part of the chapter. If you weren't with us, just let me briefly say, a couple of Saturdays ago, I was working actually on the Luther campaign, getting that booklet, sending it out to be proofread and so on, and got cleared up, and we decided to go over and see the end of the Black Parade in Lisburn, because the two granddaughters were walking with Listen to Mulligan. If you don't know where that is, we'll tell you later. Listen to Mulligan pipe band. And we went over to see that procession. So we waited and we looked in the distance and we saw the banners coming. And then as they walked by, we saw, we saw Norman. He didn't see me, but he was in a bus. And we saw Norman, we saw Peter, saw Mark, saw Andrew playing away. And probably saw others too. A couple saw me eating ice cream. But anyway, that wasn't to do with the parade. But it's interesting, you all know what a parade is. You see banners coming, and you hear the music. And we thought last week on a greater procession, the world's greatest procession I think ever took place. Because if you study chapter 10 and know history, there were 12 tribes, and they didn't go out like a mob, five abreast. And in front always went the standard of the tribe of Judah, probably a large standard with a lion upon it. And each tribe had to march behind their banner or flag or standard, same word. And then they would have heard music. That's what we're talking about now. You know, if you're listening, oh, there's a procession. I can hear the music. They must be coming. Well, I'm sure Hobab, that was the brother-in-law of Moses, would have heard music. And saw this great company, and we talked about the great invitation that Moses gave to his brother-in-law. Come thou and join with us. Go with us. They were going to the promised land. Well, this week I want to go earlier and speak about these two trumpets. The trumpets were obviously used to give direction. In verse 2 it says to call an assembly. That's what they used to do in wartime. I know if any were in camps with BB when you were a boy and they blew the bugle. And so some trumpets were used in wartime. And here it's used in the Bible. 3,500 years ago to be exact. Sometimes they used to use flutes, by the way. Used to use flutes, so I'm told, in some battles on the continent. Or they used to use drums. If it was a lambeg, you'd hear it anywhere. But they actually did to direct the troops where to go. And they used bugles, isn't that right? You know, not like with John Wayne and all the westerns, you know, they're just about to be killed and all of a sudden you hear that, you know, ah, here's the cavalry coming. And you hear the bugles charge and the bugle retreat. But here it's trumpets. Here it's trumpets could be heard throughout the camp. Now what do the trumpets represent? Well, it's not difficult. We don't want to read into Scripture. That's dangerous when you read types. But as long as we keep the Scripture, I have no doubt it represents the Word of God. It was God would have told them when to go. So the trumpets were relaying the message of God. When they had camped at Mount Sinai just a few weeks before, it says God's voice was like a trumpet. Isaiah 58 and 1, the prophet was told, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Why? To declare God's word. So these trumpets were, to those people, the very voice of God. God's direction to them. It's interesting to study, just took a concordance, studied various verses about trumpets, and just emphasizing the trumpet gave a message. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount what the Lord said about hypocrites, Pharisees, don't, when you do your alms, don't sound the trumpet in front of you. See, there was a large box in the temple called the treasury. Remember the Lord saw the widow casting in a couple of mites. You know some of the Pharisees would do? They'd hire somebody to come. And everybody would turn around and they would go with a big flurry and boom, put in a lot of coins that rattled well. So that everybody would know how giving they were to God's work. Are they wonderful? And of course Jesus Christ said, what hypocrisy. What hypocrisy. Don't do your good works to be seen of men. Don't blow a trumpet. It's almost a humorous situation, isn't it? But he uses trumpet. Matthew 24:31, the Savior said, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet and shall gather his people, his elect. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church and he said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And the trumpet isn't mentioned, but the same thought. You read in 1 Corinthians 15 about the last trump, and it's going to be so loud that the dead in Christ shall rise. It's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dust of believers is going to hear that trumpet call and rise. Here's one in 1 Corinthians 14 and 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? In other words, if you're playing the trumpet, you have to play it with good notes that you understand what the message is. I remember as a teenager Willie Mullen preaching in 1 Corinthians 14 and he mentioned that verse, if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, and he said he had an unusual question from a young man, hadn't been long a Christian, and this was way back probably early 1960s, and he was concerned if he was desecrating the Sabbath or not. And well, he came to Willie Mullen, he says, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm not long saved and I've joined a band and they want me to learn the trumpet, but I'm not very good at it and I like to practice. Could I still practice on a Sunday and be saved? You know, worried about it, was he breaking God's law? Could I practice the trumpet on a Sunday and still be saved? Remember Willie saying, he said to him, oh yes, son, you can still be saved, but the neighbours next door won't be. Well, that was Willie Mullen, if you ever remember him, some of the older ones. It needs not an uncertain blast. Well, three things about this trumpet. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 2, the metal. The metal. Two trumpets of silver. This is a silver band. Two trumpets made out of silver. Why silver? Because silver is one of the precious metals. Gold and silver. They don't corrupt the way other metals do as quickly. They're called precious metals. Precious metals. And silver is pure. You know how they prepare silver? They heat it in a crucible. And they take off, for want of a better term, the scum. And they keep heating it until the silver is purified. Now this is important because God said it's to be made out of silver, a precious metal, a pure metal. Now I believe the New Testament application is this. I'm holding the trumpet. I'm holding the trumpet. This is God's word today. Not the trumpet, but this Bible is like a trumpet because it tells us and speaks to us and cries out to us the word of God. And in Psalm 12, verse 6, there's an amazing verse. Psalm 12, verse 6. You put it in your margin. Listen to this. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. God says, this Bible, it's like silver, pure silver. And it's been purified seven times. Seven's the number of perfection. The silver trumpet reminds me of this perfect word. This pure word. This wonderful, perfect, pure, precious word of the living God. Where did the Israelites get silver in the middle of the wilderness? Well, if you know the story, when they left Egypt, the Egyptians were glad to get rid of them and they said, here, take this and go. But silver. Do you know what silver was used for in Scripture? Redemption. Redemption. You see, a man could get into debt and his property was, we might say, mortgaged or taken, or a person. Because if a person couldn't pay his debts back in those days, what happened is you became an indentured slave or servant, and you had to work so many years to pay off your debt. But a friend or a family member could come and pay over silver to redeem you, to buy you back. To buy back your property and give it back to you. To buy you back out of slavery. See, it was the price of a person. Joseph was sold for pieces of silver. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Silver has to do with buying, selling, redemption. Hold your finger there and turn to Exodus 30. Because this is an amazing truth about the silver. Now, I don't get into the tabernacle too much. I've preached series on the tabernacle before I was minister here. I remember doing a series, not sure how long it would have been now, 15, 18 years ago maybe. But if you know about the tabernacle, you'll know that outside it was brass. There were poles and a sort of a tent or a covering around outside, and then there was a tent in the middle, but there was a cloth, white linen, but it was on poles. It wasn't put in the ground, it was put in sockets of brass, because brass is a symbol of judgment. But in the tabernacle proper that signified fellowship with God, the holy place, the ark, and so on, the poles weren't put in the ground. Sockets of gold, £100 each, with little slats, and the poles were put out, the boards were put into it. Now, this is very interesting. Look at verse 12 of Exodus 30. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, and you need to go back to chapter 26 to realize there were over 600,000 men in the army over the age of 20. Okay? That's what it means, taking their sum, counting the army. Then shall they give every man, watch it, a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that a plague won't come. See that? Verse 13, they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel. Half a shekel of silver. It's to be an offering to the Lord. And then we're told that everybody had to give it. In verse 15, the rich couldn't give more, the poor not less. An offering. Now watch the end of verse 15 carefully. In other words, every man 20 years age up, they had to give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And they shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, we'd better explain a bit of that. Is this saying that these men bought their salvation with silver? Is it teaching us that they ransomed their soul by giving a bit of silver? Or that they made atonement with God for their sins by giving a bit of silver? No, it's not. It's not teaching that. Because these men were already redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. You see, redemption's only by the blood of the Lamb. This is a picture, this is a type. The silver is a picture and a symbol of the costliness of redemption. Because if you look at the end of verse 16, or sorry, towards the end, a memorial. It's a remembrance. That explains it. It's a memorial. It's a reminder. The silver is given. I know it says to ransom their soul, to make an atonement. But it means to be a remembrance of the redemption of their soul. To be a remembrance of the atonement. They were already redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But God said when they're building the tabernacle, every man over 20 bring a half shekel. Now when you've over 600,000 men, that's a lot of silver. So what did they do? They heated it up, purified it. They took large blocks and they made the sockets for the boards of the tabernacle. You see, this is what we're talking about here. This is where they got it. Redemption. Redemption. This is all I'm after at the minute. The metal. Silver. So these two trumpets remind us of salvation, of redemption. Of redemption. Because of course we know from 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Do you ever wonder that verse, what it was talking about? Who ever thought they were redeemed with silver? It's talking back to Exodus 30. It's only a picture back then. But the silver represents the awesome cost that the Savior paid when he endured the wrath of hell that I ought to have endured fell upon him at Calvary. Oh, the cost. The cost. The metal. But then secondly, I want you to think of the making. The making. It says in verse 2, our text, make thee two trumpets. Now why not three or four? Well, you'll see it in a moment. Then verse 2 says, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. It wasn't made out of molten in the sense of a mold. It wasn't poured into a mold, you know, they were rubber and so. No, not like that. It was one big block. And men came and beat it and beat it. And of course, silver stretches. And they beat it and beat it with their hammers or whatever. And they were able to fashion two beautiful trumpets out of one piece of silver. Remember, Bezalel, other men, were filled with the Holy Spirit to make the tabernacle and the things of the tabernacle. And this has to do with the tabernacle. You know why it was made? God anointed holy men with his Holy Spirit to make them. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, holy men of God wrote. Yes, 40 different men, over 1500 years, Asia, Europe, Africa they lived, three continents. And yet God, the Holy Spirit, moved. They were moved, borne along by the Holy Spirit. And every word they wrote in the original is the very word of God. Two out of one piece. Two trumpets out of one piece of gold. I have in my hand, well, 66 books, but really two main books, the Old and the New Testament too. But yet it's one. One piece of silver, one piece of silver, two trumpets. But you know, the trumpet of the Old Testament, the trumpet of the New, give the same message, Jesus saves. It's the same message. That's the point I'm trying to get out. It's exactly the same message. Well, the making, the metal, the message. The message. I've already said Exodus 19, God spoke. Well, here's some of the messages that this trumpet signified or conveyed to the people. Look at verse 10. In the day of your gladness and your solemn days and the beginnings of your months, you see, Jews in the Old Testament, their months go by the change of the moon. That's why their calendar's different than ours. And when there was that moon that changed, they had services. But you shall blow with the trumpets. Now watch this. Over the sacrifices of your peace offerings and your burnt offerings as well. See, when they heard the trumpet blowing, there was times when they heard the two trumpets. Oh, they're about to sacrifice the lamb as a peace offering to God, as a burnt offering to God. And those trumpets reminded them of the sacrifice of the blood. Do you know what it reminded them? You're only accepted before God by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It reminded them that they couldn't approach God by their own goodness or righteousness or merit or what they had done. Those trumpets blowing reminded them of the commemoration of the sacrifice. It said, stop! Pay attention! Look at the sacrifice. And what does this Bible tell me? Stop! Look away from yourself. Oh, it tells me I'm a sinner. It tells me there's judgment. It tells me I can never be accepted before a holy God on my own goodness. The Ten Commandments reveal I'm a sinner, but they're never a stepladder to get me to heaven. Oh, but thank God this book, yes, Old and New Testament both give the same message, that there's a perfect sacrifice, and that I can be declared righteous and accepted before the holy God by the sacrifice of Christ. Because of course the blood of goats and bulls and lambs can't take away sin, pointing forward to Christ. Isn't it amazing? These two trumpets remind us of the perfect sacrifice of Christ, the greatest message in the book, greatest message in the world. Have you heard it? Have you responded to it? Have you come to Christ? Well, blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. Psalm 89:15. And if with time we could take in, so I believe that verse is referring to trumpets blowing. Because they blew the Day of Atonement, the year of the Jubilee, the trumpets blew, when the high priest had made the offering in the holy place. Can you see it? It's clear. Way back in the Old Testament, the Lord is prophesying through this event to look to the cross. And that's our message. Look to the cross of Christ. But let's go back to verse 2. Verse 2, it's used in a different way. Because we're told here that they must use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying. The journeying. Remember we went on reading other verses about how when you blow the alarm, verse 6, then this camp will get ready to go, the south side and the east side, on their journeys. It was used for advance. Advance. You see, they're a redeemed people. The trumpets blew to remind them every day a lamb was sacrificed. Trumpet would blow to remind them the blood. That's how we're accepted before the holy God. But sometimes the trumpets would blow with a different sound or tune, whatever, and the people would know, oh, time to get ready. Do you know sometimes they camp for a few days? You get tent all ready up. And then the trumpet would blow. Do you know sometimes it was a few weeks? And on one occasion it was quite a few months. They never knew when they had to go. And I don't like that, do you? I kind of like to know when I'm going and what I'm doing. But they didn't know. And it was God's will for them sometimes, stay there a week, now go. And how did they know? The trumpet would blow. We've got to advance. You see, the message for us as Christians, when you come to know Christ, advance. You want to know what way to go. Remember in the wilderness, they didn't know what way to go. You listen to the trumpet. You follow the word of God. It'll tell you what to do. It'll tell you the way to go. See, I say this Bible's like the two trumpets. Follow the word of God. Here's another one. Verse 9. It's not only a command to journey, commemorate the sacrifice. It's a cry to war. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Isn't that wonderful? Attack! Attack! Now as a child we used to sing that hymn, sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. This is the charge. Attack the enemy. And certainly we need to hear that today, don't we? As a church. We need to go out on the attack. Like young David to his brothers when they wouldn't go and fight Goliath. Is there not a cause? Is there not a, but look, it's not only for attack, it's for assurance. The middle of verse 9, you shall be remembered before the Lord your God. And you shall be saved from your enemies. When they heard the trumpet blow for war, it said, go forward. Ah, but listen, can you see the soldier? I wonder, will the enemy beat us? I wonder, will we be able to overcome? We're weak. The enemy's strong. And there's enemies in your Christian life. The greatest enemy, of course, the last enemy is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. And Satan would try and terrify even believers. Of course he does, because we're human. How are we going to face that last great enemy? Ah, but listen. Can you see the soldier going into a literal battle on that day? And he hears the trumpets. Oh, God said, when the trumpet is blown, I will remember you. The soldier would say, God's remembering me. God's remembering me in this battle. He hasn't forgotten all about me. And that word remember doesn't just mean that he says, oh, down there he's in trouble. It means he's remembering to save you and to bring you through. What a message from these trumpets. The trumpets blowing, the silver trumpets tell me I'm accepted before God through the blood. I can advance this way. It'll guide me. I can advance forward and then I can attack the enemy and I have the assurance he'll protect me. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. By the way, that did happen. That did happen. I'm not going to turn to it as time's going, but you take a concordance. In 2 Chronicles 13:12, there's a battle between two armies. The message was sent to the enemy. Behold, God is with us, our captain, and the sounding of trumpets to cry alarm. In other words, don't you try and fight us, because the trumpets are sounding. And then it goes on to say in 2 Chronicles 13:14, Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. They were surrounded by the enemy, but they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets, and the attack was made. That's hundreds of years later in 2 Chronicles 13. We're surrounded. The enemy's all around. We can't go forward. We can't go back. Lord, save us. The trumpets sound. The true priests. Ah, God's given us the victory. When you're in trouble, you turn to this word. You turn to this word. You see, acceptance before God. Advancing in the Christian life. Knowing that attack and assurance of victory, it's all based on redemption. It's all based on the work of Christ. Maybe you're wondering, a few thoughts came to me. Maybe you're wondering, well, wouldn't it be wonderful to have been alive then and to hear the trumpets telling you what way to go and when to go? Wouldn't it be wonderful? No, listen. No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't. You have something far better. You have a completed word of God. We have something better than two silver trumpets. We have the precious word of God. We have it. Oh yes, it's wonderful to hear beautiful music. But it's far better to hear the music of this precious, precious word. I don't know if you watched the last proms. I just watched the last few minutes. Can't miss that. Land of Hope. Maybe some of you know. And the thousands singing and so on. Why, it's amazing. It's nothing compared to heaven. When the people of God arrive home and defeated the enemy. And the innumerable numbers sing. But you see, we're to lift our voices like a trumpet as a church. We're to sound out this word. You see, God's word came through the trumpets. 1 Thessalonians, from you as a congregation sounded out the word of the Lord. And in the children's mission, we're praying for it this afternoon. We're to sound out the word of the Lord. We're to be like a trumpet player. Now, maybe like me, you say, well, I couldn't play a trumpet. I'll have to let you in the secret. I remember trying, was it a bugle years ago? And the man says, now put your lips this way, and I'm going, I could get nothing out of it at all. Nothing out of it at all. And I know somebody, and they try, they want to be a fluter.
They wanted to be like Andrew, but he tried. He tried for weeks and gave up. He just couldn't blow that flute. Well, one thing for sure, if you're a believer, you can blow the message. You can sound the message of saving grace. We can lift up our voice. You know, the sad thing is, people are deaf. There are some people you could blow a trumpet in their ear and they wouldn't hear you. Obviously, some have disability. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ made the deaf to hear. And as we blow the trumpet, may God open the ears of the spiritually deaf. Only He can do it. Only He can open those ears to cause them to hear. Have you heard the trumpet sounding? Have you heard the message of salvation? Well, then may God help us to lift up our voice like a trumpet. Let's turn for a couple of verses of a hymn in closing. 539. Very well known hymn, and I chose it because of verse 2. 539. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. High, what will the trumpets? Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.